Rodgers lands in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another rivalry edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me in studio in the beautiful Bison Report studios in Horace, North Dakota, Zach Willis. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How much? Give me a milligrams over under caffeine on Saturday. Give me a milligrams.
It might hit a full gram. We're going full 1,000.
1,000 milligrams.
It's going to take a lot to get through Saturday.
It is. I'm full on anticipating about a 15 and a half to 16 hour day for myself.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be close to that as well.
Oh, boy. News. First sellout crowd in a long time. That is the rumor. The students sold out.
That's what I'm proud of.
Yeah.
The students came
through. Shout out students. Students sold out, and the rumor is potential single game availability on Friday, and then after that it would be standing room only.
I love it.
And that would be, you know, we talked about the COVID-19 pandemic, of course, and some playoff games that everybody kind of knew they were going to win and folks weren't that excited, whatever. So it's been a long time, I think, since 18,800 were in the dome.
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty good culmination of Skeletor bringing his crew in here for a rivalry game. And then, it's homecoming, and that we'll get into that later, but that's a whole nother can of worms. That's always fun. Like I said, it's a different kind of energy when everybody knows that thing is sold out. And, you know, as I wrote earlier today, I'm excited for it to get you and I loud on Saturday.
Yeah, you and I loud is kind of the original loud. Because we've talked about this. They were the gatekeepers, man.
Yeah.
Like, they, unfortunately for that program, they haven't ever been to the mountaintop. But the fact that they were the gatekeepers for the Valley is not debatable when NDSU got there.
Yeah, and little fun fact, just in my family's aspect, my stepmom's parents are from Cedar Falls.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So I spent a lot of time down there as a childhood and lost quite a few football games in that arena.
Sure.
So, I mean, you know, talk about rivalries all you want, but it, like you said, they were like the cream of the crop in the Missouri Valley. So,
well, and there's just a spectacular picture of you in their uniform.
Spectacular is a word.
You guys have to check out the at Zach Willis 57, all one word. Believe earlier in the week was tweeted out his recruiting photo from the UNI locker room, and it's something, folks. It's really, really is.
It's
something.
Not good. Let's just say this: I didn't look good in any of those tight jerseys, but I think I made the right choice as far as color scheme.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Remember, folks, early tailgating. I believe we're going to be allowed in at 5:30.
Yeah.
And everybody else at 6?
We're selling barbecue sauce at 7.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. So just like I said, remember, folks, not a 2:30 game, a 1 o'clock game. I'm sure you guys knew that, but we always like to be helpful if we can.
Yeah. Eat your breakfast.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, let's one more time, public service announcement. Do not start drinking at 7 o'clock in the morning and not eat food.
Bush Light does not count as sustenance.
We had a man down situation in Grand Forks.
Yeah, we did.
It was brutal. Like amber lamps and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Dude was
struggling, and I don't know. He was down and out.
Yeah, my man was down for the count by like 10 a.m. Not a good situation.
Should have come had some Jersey Mike's at the Bison Report.
Yep. Let's hit on some injury stuff. So turns out Luke Wirtz was not a game plan decision. That was an injury decision.
Yeah.
So it must have been something that cropped up during during the prep for UND, because you would assume you whatever I remember him playing against Towson.
Yeah.
So you would assume then, even if there was a nick or a scrape or a bump or a bruise against Towson, in 14 days you could figure it out.
Right.
So you would assume then that there was some sort of issue during practice or whatever.
Yeah, you know, just...
Was he in uniform, by the way?
No.
Okay, he was not. Okay.
Just as far as I know, or just from my perspective, my point of view, what I experienced, you know, guys that are out for that long, you have that 14-day period. If it happened at Towson, that's a long ways. It could have happened Thursday practice and, like, walkthrough. Who knows?
Yeah, you roll an ankle.
Yeah. Yeah. But usually if it's one of those longer recovery periods, it's usually a joint involved. You wouldn't expect it to be soft tissue. That stuff usually gets worked out. But, you know, if he wasn't in a boot or on crutches, you got to assume that.
Sure.
It's fairly minor.
All right, and we'll wait and see with bring Thomas and Jalen Sundell. Jalen, I think, with a knee, that was pretty obvious. And then I believe Braden with a elbow, shoulder, something. He was in a sling.
Yeah,
so something with his arm. That's kind of a wait and see deal. But man, they're getting thin at defensive end if they're losing Braden Thomas.
Yeah, you know, losing him and Wagey in consecutive weeks isn't awesome. But
no, and I to me that's, I mean, I love Tony Pierce, but I think that's your top two guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we can do this every year when somebody gets thin, but it's always next man up here. So
yeah,
that's the cool part. We get to see who the young guy is going to come in and make the biggest impact,
or the old guy. You know, we've been talking about Barty and Reed Ryan this whole time. Reed Ryan, scout team player of the week.
That's your guy.
He is my guy. Shout out Wisconsin. Shout out Reed. all right. So some kind of trash news that I guess we didn't even realize. This is the last UNI game until 2024, and the last time they'll be here until 2025. Thanks, UND.
Yeah. I mean, they just ruin everything.
They really do. They absolutely ruin everything.
I'm just glad we beat them.
Yeah.
But stop. Like, just take your loss and walk home. You don't have to take the UNI game away and then all the other stuff you do.
And I wonder who, I would assume South Dakota State and UND are protected for NDSU.
I would imagine so.
Yeah, you would hope that there would be a way to, for a third protected game. And
I would hope it would be UNI.
Yeah, it might be USD, you know, just the way that they would think geographically. But yeah, that's too bad. That's too bad.
Yeah, that does stink, because now the Sycamores are going to be rolling through or whoever else. And that's for sure. Not a game I want to see over UNI.
For sure. All right. Damari Wheeler Thomas, point guard from Elgin, Illinois, is going to take his official visit this weekend. He's got offers from Lewis, Western Illinois, Detroit Mercy, the HBCU Grambling, and Chicago State. So some low major, some mid major interest there. 6 foot, 170 pound point guard. NDSU, I believe, has at least one combo guard for 2022 right now, but potentially still looking for that lead guard, and he will be on campus this weekend. Would assume that he'll be down on the field with the basketball staff and any other visitors before the game, so that's something to keep an eye on. They have been able to get a couple of visitors to pull the trigger kind of the weekend of on campus, so something to look at. Zach, I want to ask you, what is your favorite UNI memory? And what I'm not going to do is limit this to the ones that you were there for.
Sure.
So you are welcome to hit me with something from your time as a fan. I'm not going to put you in a box.
Sure.
you can be wherever you want to be.
Oh, man. I was a real young buck when I was a fan, and like my formidable memories of playing against UNI. I can't remember what year it was, but my great aunt is Glenda Klein. She was in administrative athletics for a long time.
Okay.
So we had pretty good hookup on seats, and we're on the 50-yard line right behind the UND or UNI bench, excuse me. And they throw a touchdown to go up late in the game, and their quarterback runs off the field and gives everybody the bird, runs the length of the sideline, giving everybody the bird. And then we ended up winning, I believe, because I wasn't sad at the end of it. Kind of a constant theme that still holds true to this day. But, I mean, my favorite moment might be from when I was there, and it was 19 when we absolutely took it to them.
Yeah, 46-14. In the dome. That was ruthless.
It was the best. And you know, I just remember you hear about their they still do the Brinkman at nose guard and
yeah.
Big tall cat at DN 47. I can't remember his name off the top of my hand, but I mean those dudes are pretty special. And you go back on tape and you see guys like that get broken through the game, and you know you win by 30. Then it's a pretty good memory to have.
Yeah, I think for me the one that will always be is Carson DeShep in the back of the end zone.
Oh, how did I forget
about on that? Homecoming? That was such. Fargo was just in an uproar after. I mean, it was just the perfect. That 1 o'clock game is dangerous if you win in dramatic fashion because people are just
all the beer is gone.
Oh yeah, it's just a wreck. And you go downtown and people that have been drinking since 8 are downtown and they're just sloppy.
Ones that didn't take our advice to eat breakfast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, a little more on that one. That was really special. How did I forget that? But if you remember, Kunert got hurt on that drive, that 2-minute uh-huh. drive. So we had to substitute backup center. Zach Ziemer came in. And kind of orchestrated that whole thing with Carson, and then Shep was still just a young buck. I know him as the old guy, but he was still just a little baby there. And
he was.
That shows the stones that guy has to make that catch and win it on homecoming.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
All right, I believe we've made this announcement before, but this is the ad read part of the show, so it's time to tell the people what's going on Saturday.
Let's go! As early as you want to taste barbecue sauce, we will be there to give you barbecue sauce. Big Duck's going to be out of tailgating. We'll be in Thunder Alley. I think we're between the Bud Light and the Jack Lynx tent, if I remember correctly. I mean, you'll see us. We'll be the big goofy bastards with barbecue sauce out front. But, yeah, so I'm excited to see all you guys. It's going to be fun to go out there and, you know, more than anything, just kind of soak in that whole homecoming experience. Like I said, I haven't done this before, so... go out there and say what's up and come by. You don't even have to buy anything. I just want you to come say hi.
For sure. And we'll still be set up. I'm going to make Zach pull a little bit of double duty. We're going to try and manufacture bacon and eggs at the Bison Report tailgating spot, hoping for a new Blackstone grill.
Sorry, Jesse.
Yeah, thank God she doesn't listen to the show. And then potentially our generator with a griddle. So we should have... two flat cooking surfaces, and we should be griddling up a storm over, and we'll get you guys fed, hopefully. Potentially bring some Big Deck hot sauce over there for the eggs, because I think that's, course. Yeah, there
it's
we go.
Necessary.
For sure, for sure. All right, without further ado, something we used to do on the show all the time, and then we transitioned a lot of these interviews into BRTV, but we thought this would be a good week. You're listening to Bison Report Radio. We appreciate that, and we've got potentially two really key defensive ends down for the count with injury. Let's talk about a young man coming up in the program, somebody that got some actual run against UND, and that is young Shaka Rokes. My interview with Shaka Rokes right here.
Here with North Dakota State defensive end Shaka Rokes. Shaka, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Got to be exciting to get a few more reps. You never want it to come, obviously, at the expense of a teammate going down. But Spence goes down, you step up. What have the first couple real defensive snaps of your career been like?
A lot faster than usual. I mean, it was really important for me because, like, just growing up, I always wanted to get those snaps that in, like, college football. And I always knew my first couple of snaps would be really impactful. So when I got out there, the crowd was roaring, and it was just amazing.
How tall are you and how much do you weigh?
6'3", 226.
Okay. I ask you that because I think a lot of people expected when Spencer came down for you to come in on third down, you know, pass rush. You played some rundowns and set the edge. How much do you pride yourself on, despite not being the biggest D-end in the world, still being able to affect the run game like that?
I just think it's important to me just being physical. Like, I don't ever want to be one of those players that – team see as like a liability, as, oh, he's too light. So he can only be effective in the pass game. I want to be effective in both the run and pass, so it's just a big part. Just really important to me that I'm able to be more versatile, even being as light as I am.
Who are some of the guys in the defensive end room that are kind of guiding you along? Because I'm sure you have questions. I'm sure you're, you know, asking for techniques or assignments, et cetera, et cetera. And there's some veteran leadership in that defensive end room for sure.
Yeah, guys that are really helping me right now, especially with, like, run game and stuff, is Logan McCormick and just, like, understanding the defense and understanding what other teams will try to run at me. He's been a really big help to me. Another guy who's been leading me along the path ever since I came in is Tony Pierce.
Okay.
He's been really helping me on my craft with pass rushing and other stuff like that.
You guys had a really emotional win on Saturday, in-state rival. Now you get to turn around and do it all again. How do you stay mentally locked in from a win like that and understanding it's homecoming, it's you and I, it's a big deal? How do you turn the page and stay locked in?
Well, Coach Sense was always talking about how, yes, it was an amazing win, but you just got to be ready to get on to the next one. Like, yes, I'm extremely happy for me and my guys that we got that dub, but we got another game that we got to prepare for. So, simple as that.
Yeah, for sure. The potential is there. I guess we've heard that Saturday is maybe going to be the first sellout in a really long time. Of course, you had the COVID-19 pandemic and the spring season, but before that, a couple of, you know, playoff games that folks figured the Bison would win by a lot, maybe 15, maybe 16,000 people showed up. This is potential for 18,800, maybe some standing room, filled to the rafters, loud, excited. How cool is it going to be to play in front of a crowd like that for the first time?
It's going to be amazing. I have not gotten the chance to play in a full dome yet, so I'm prepared for it. I'm ready to play in that, and I can't wait.
What have you seen from Northern Iowa on film? What does this defense need to do well to succeed against the Panthers?
A big thing is physicality. From what I've seen, they have an extremely good O-line. They're extremely physical. Coach was talking about how they're good in every area, so we just have to come and play our game. Most physical team we can be.
How about you specifically? What do you need to improve on? What do you need to do well to make an impact on Saturday?
I just got to keep being a physical player that I know I can be. As long as my physicality, as long as I'm playing with what I know I can do, I think I'll be pretty good.
All right, thanks.
Yep, thank you.
Zach Willis, big Shocker Rokes guy.
I love Shocker Rokes. That's he wore 56, I wore 57. We shared a locker space.
Okay.
If you ask him, probably shared too much of a locker space.
That's fair.
You know, we kind of invade our own personal space, but, you know, he's a great kid, and I think he's going to be really special once he develops a little bit on the football field. And that might come sooner than we think it will.
Yeah, he's a twitched up kid. I think 6'3", 220. I think everybody right now expects him to be a rush edge. You know, not necessarily your stack and shed six technique setting the edge out there. But he got some early down stuff, man, against UND. He was able to hold up in the run as far as I could tell. I mean, I didn't ever see him get run over in a big way or fail to set the edge and fail to keep the cup. I thought he was effective enough against the run to be a threat and to be able to just kind of be rotated as opposed to a guy that only comes in on third down.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that are scrappy enough that he can kind of make up for his lack of size. And then you kind of, as we've seen with multiple defensive players throughout the years with NDSU, you start to add that size and you start to add that strength and those dudes become pretty freaky. So
yeah.
I'm excited to see what Shaka does.
I am too. I think he's a high upside kid, and you know me, I'm a pass rush guy, or at least that's what Trevor always used to call me, the pass rush guy. I'm always looking for the next wave, man. I mean, we were so blessed to go from Coulter Boyer to Cole to Kyle Emanuel to Money Menard to Derek Tuska. I mean, there have been some dogs off the edge.
Yeah, and there's dudes that, like, rotated off the bench that were dogs. There's too much talent to keep off the field.
For sure. All right, getting into the UNI game. What were your, I guess, memories of the game down in Iowa last spring? I remember specifically this game because I believe it was the same day as WrestleMania. We were at friends. We got my kids were hanging out with their kids, and we were all watching the game, waiting that night for WrestleMania to come on. So that's burned into my memory, but kind of a clunky game. I mean, it kind of reminded me a little bit of what just happened at UND. Road game, good opponent.
Yep.
That one was actually a C-dub 100-yard kick return snack that kind of kept that one from going sideways.
Yeah, I was before you even said that, I was going to say the exact same thing. It felt like UND last week.
It's yeah.
just a grinder, meat grind, stinky, gross, like Bison football yeah. game. Like you come out on top after those every time. But that's what you come to expect from a UNI team is the physicality, that mean streak. You know, they're going to do the chirping. They're going to get in your face. And, you know, I promise you that's preached to everybody during the team meetings
yeah.
because – it happens every year, but yeah, I mean, that was what I remember from the spring, and I was just glad we got out of Cedar Falls with a win, because that's one of those ones that if you can check them off on the schedule, then that's another good year.
For sure. All right, a couple of changes from the spring. I never need to see Marcus Weimiller again, ever. I have no problem with him being gone. He was a Bison killer, man. He was a pain in the yeah. ass. But Mr. Farley got heavy up in that transfer portal, man.
Sure did.
Specifically, and Will McIlvain, you know, he kind of had that little engine that could vibe.
He reminds me of your guy down in
my guy
in Ole Miss.
Oh, Matt Corral.
Yeah, like jeez. Same kind of like, I'm going to run around and I'm either going to lose 12 yards on a sack or I'm going to hit an out route to yeah. somebody who's just running on a broken play for six.
Sure, sure, yeah. He ended up breaking the record for passing yards by a freshman at UNI, was third team freshman All-America for Phil Steele, I think, and ultimately was, I mean, I would assume you think at that point he's the future, right?
Like right.
that's, and all of a sudden, here comes Theo Day. I got to make sure I get that name right. And he is a big old dude, 6'5", lanky, long. He kind of has that Carson Wentz whip, you know, when he gets a thing going with his right arm. He's an impressive dude. And then averaging 7 yards a carry out of Kansas University is tailback Dom Williams, who has been pretty impressive through their 3-1 start, with the only loss being to nationally ranked Iowa State on the road.
Yeah, I mean, can't say I have flipped on the film a lot, but you know, those are big time program. I'm going to get roasted for that. The dude came from Kansas. That's not a big time program.
Exactly.
But I mean, QB from Michigan State, and like
right.
you said, dude does look like Slender Man. He looks like old Carson Wentz out there.
He does. He does. He's impressive. I think that I think Entz really nailed it at the press conference, and I'm not just kissing his butt, but I mean, they're more efficient.
Yeah.
Because you're right. You know, McIlvain was never out of the play, but he was going to razzle dazzle you. He might, you know, he was a little bit like Tommy Schuster, and he might actually make something kind of bad happen for your squad.
You know, now that we sit here and talk about it, there's a lot of parallels between last spring's UNI team and this fall's UND's team.
Sure, sure. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit, too. But I was really impressed with Theo Day on film. I thought he and Weston specifically, and we'll talk about Weston in a second, too, are kind of in sync right now, which is not necessarily great. Two guys, and I know that Bison fans aren't going to weep, certainly, for UNI when, you know, you're in a situation where you feel like you should maybe still have Trey Lance on the team, or could potentially still have probably not Brillo, but, you know, Rado yep. and stuff. Guys that this way or that way with COVID or NFL or whatever just left the program a little early. You and I had the same problem. Ellerson Smith, not a joke. Dude, 4th-round pick, New York Giants. Spencer Brown out here starting for the Buffalo Bills and just being a complete asshead, by the way.
Yeah. That is my dad's favorite player, by the way. Because I mean, he's an intimidating dude to be around. He's all of 6'9".
Yeah.
Big dude. And like 300+ pounds. You know, whatever. You see these guys who are freak shows, but I mean, he's tatted up and he's jacked, and it's like, you are a Buffalo Bill, man. Like, just looking at you, and he's getting in Desmond King's face and
yeah.
calling him short and stuff, just an absolute menace. But, you know, I told you he was playing, and you're like, oh, okay. And then I sent you the video of him absolutely body slamming Jonathan Allen. And
yeah.
I'm like, he's playing. He's not just playing. But those dudes, I mean.
Because I figured he was kind of projecty and a guy that honestly I didn't love coming out because, yeah. we talked about this. How many really good offensive linemen in the NFL are 6'9 or 6'10?
Yeah, not many.
Like, your dudes are usually 6'6.
Yep.
It's like
a sweet spot thing.
Right, exactly. And I think pad level and leverage is a little bit tough when you're a tree.
Yeah, but right.
My guy is playing great.
He's dogging people. And it's kind of cool because, you know, obviously once he left, I've interacted with him a couple times and just offhand. And hearing he trained with Rado out in California with Joe Staley. So just hearing stories, you know, you hate him because he plays for you and I. But same kind of thing. I thought he was pretty raw coming in, but dude just fits in Buffalo, and he's killing people right now.
All right. Isaiah Weston. This, and I know, like, you and I kind of had this conversation about Zach Mathis, right?
Yeah.
Everybody loves a tall wide receiver.
Right.
And that was Sean Engel. He was the second coming. Oh, yeah. There's a deep cut.
That is a real deep cut.
But honestly, though, like, our fans were juiced up for Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I think Jake Winicky has a lot to do with that. And you even see guys like Cooper Kupp, who I think is 6'2 or 3. Dominate, you know, the subdivision, and you know, I've told people they're great 5'11" and 6'1" and 6 foot tall wide receivers.
Yeah,
great.
That's kind of where the sweet spot is,
right? Like but people just love those tall wideouts, and this is a good one. Isaiah is a very good player, has given the Bison troubles, and right now, their best corner is, I would say, generously listed at 5'10" in young Mr. Eubanks.
I will not comment on that.
But, I mean, in general, like, who's the tallest corner? DT?
Maybe. Yeah. Jaden Price. I mean, probably the same height.
But
still, like, that's just football. You're not going to find corners that are over 6 feet tall. So, I mean, that's the other the appeal of having a receiver that's over 6'3". And I mean, Isaiah Weston's just an athlete too.
He's a very good football player.
It's not just the height he's bringing to the party. So, I mean, it's going to be a real test for these DBs out there.
It is. It is. And I think that is, honestly, as much as UND fans like to talk about Belquist and Mogg, I mean, they're fine.
Yeah.
They're fine. And I mean that. I mean, they're probably slightly above average Valley receivers. Sure. They're just not all league guys to me. They're not.
You know it when you see it.
Right. And Weston is it, man. Yeah. Like, he's not C-Dub, but he's it. He's
nobody else in the country is C-Dub.
That's true.
To be fair.
Yeah, that is true.
But I mean, like you said, I mean, he's been as good as long as he's been there too.
Yeah. I think U Albany's the kid that took the slant at the end. I think he was a dude. Sure. I think he's a good player.
Yep.
But I think Weston will be the best receiver they've seen this year in a fun little test for how do you handle a guy like that, you know?
I think that's the other cool part too. It's Coach Green's been playing lights out right now.
Yep.
I think Coach Braun has really found his groove with the team. Not that he didn't before, but I think he's doing some really cool stuff. We're seeing blitzes I've never seen before, and like, they're bringing heat. I'm excited to see how they handle him.
I am too. I think, you know, I they have not shadowed somebody with Courtney yet. I don't know as though they'll do that this week.
Yeah,
but maybe you have Courtney on the guy who isn't Weston. You kind of double Weston with a corner and a safety and put Courtney on the other guy. Maybe roll a safety over there and just play field and boundary like you have been.
And then let the boys tackle.
Yeah.
You know, I think I just want to take a second to appreciate Courtney Eubanks, because what other – is he technically a freshman right now?
Yeah.
What other freshman corner in the country are we talking about this locking up their number ones every week?
And it's so crazy because – to me, last year was all the conversation of who is going to be opposite Josh Hayes.
Right.
And then that just got swept. Like, all of those guys are still in a competition, but now it's who's opposite Courtney.
Right.
He just jumped everyone in line.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard position to recruit and find good ones that are good at the college level.
Yeah.
And to find, I mean, Josh Hayes is an NFL guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm happy for him and that he made that choice for his family, but I miss Jay Hayes. Just as a person, too. I mean, he was a great dude to have around, but hell of a football player.
Josh and Courtney would be something.
Oh.
Yeah, Josh and Courtney would be something.
Let him lock everybody up.
Whew. Anyway, I got to tell you said you hadn't been in the film. I have been.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching games.
I'm not shocked.
These guys are better than UND.
I'll take your word for it.
Because the quarterback is better,
mm-hmm.
and UND is just missing these dudes.
Yeah.
Weston is a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Both defensive tackles are nasty, both Christian and obviously Brinkman.
Yeah.
And Omar Brown and Benny Sapp are way better than anybody in UND's secondary.
Yeah, it's not even close.
And I just look position by position by position, and I see Northern Iowa as the 16th-ranked team in the country, and I see UND as the 14th-ranked company. I might not have those exactly right, but what I will tell you is UND is two or three spots ahead of UNI right now.
Yeah,
in the rankings.
I find that kind of shocking.
And so just going roster to roster, I'm looking and thinking, okay, where is UND's advantage? On a neutral field, why am I picking UND by three? Or whatever it is that these guys are saying. I'm just not doing that.
Sure.
So I think it's an interesting test for these guys. I definitely get, I believe at the end, North Dakota State was 14-point favorites on the road against UND. Now they're 6.5-point favorites at home against UNI. So Vegas likes UNI a little bit better.
Yeah. Those guys usually know what they're talking about.
For sure. So interesting to me. I do think that this is a better opponent than the one they played last week. No, this is not just me dumping on UND. This is an honest roster, just evaluation, watching the tape, who's good, who's got players. UNI has players. Dudes on defense.
Yeah.
Absolute dudes.
The other thing I can tell you 100% just from being – this is probably the rivalry that I knew most because
sure.
I watched the SDSU game when it came on every year, but I went to a lot of UNI NDSU games in Cedar Falls and at home and games that we lost. And
yeah,
I was at the game that they snapped the winning streak at down in the Unidome.
As was I.
Not a fun experience.
Nope.
But Farley's going to have these boys fired up, and that's just a given. These dudes play hard, and they play physical, and whatever you can say about UND.
And I don't think these guys have beaten North Dakota State.
No.
Nobody on this roster has.
No, not that I would think off the top of my head.
Right, that's got to be sticking in.
Everybody who would have left for the draft or to go somewhere else last year.
Right. Christian Boyd and Jaron Brinkman, this is a very interesting matchup for me because you've got Kubis, who we mentioned did not have his best game in Grand Forks.
Sure.
Westberg making his first career start because I just don't feel comfortable telling you folks that Jalen Sundell is going to be out there on Saturday.
Yeah, I could. I mean, I have the same injury as he did. In the knee. It takes more than a week.
Yeah. So I feel like you're not going to see Sundell. And you've got Kubis coming off kind of a rough game and Nash being Nash.
Yeah.
Those three against those two, that could decide the game.
Absolutely. And, I'm always all I watch is the offensive line when I watch games.
I am aware of that.
Yeah. I will be locked into this matchup because, it's time to put up or shut up. It's no easy passes now. So, these young bucks, whatever, you got to bounce back. It's time to play some Bison
football. Little inside baseball, Zach and I rewatch the games. When the offense is on the field, if you've ever seen that meme where the guy is playing video games and then he starts to take it serious and he sits up in his seat, when the defense is on the field, I don't even know where Zach is. He's making a sandwich. He's grabbing something out of the fridge. He's going to the bathroom, whatever. But when the Rams are on the field, we're locked in.
I got nothing to contribute. You sit me here and... I'm just some dude who my extent of defense is playing engage eight on Madden.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see Westberg, how he does, how Kubis rebounds. If this was game two where I think we've talked about it, but when you played Ridgeway, Ants mentioned dropping Cordell to guard.
Sure.
Because the biggest problems were on the interior.
Right.
I don't love these defensive ends. They're okay.
Yeah.
But Ellerson Smith's not walking through that door. And I think you get into a situation where, and Ricky Neal not either.
Sure.
He was a dude.
Yeah.
You get into a situation where I think you could have Cordell at guard because you are more stressed out about, by the way, a little insight, we're just grossed out at whatever's going on with Russell Wilson's finger right now.
It's not good.
But I think you are in a situation where you might have to have Cordell at guard because your two biggest problems are their two defensive tackles.
Yeah, I mean, so let's get a little weird with this.
Yeah.
Let's lay out this lineup of how we think it would go. So I would imagine they would have Wesley still playing the pivot.
Sure.
At center because he's a natural center. He's played there for longer than anybody else in the offensive line room. Nash and Cody stays the same.
Yep.
What happens to that right side?
Mason Miller.
You want Mason?
I mean, that's my guess.
Sure.
Because I just think he's out-snapped Jake Rock all year.
Yeah, you know, even on the Ogre packages.
He's been the Ogre.
He's been the sixth guy coming in. So
I that would be my guess.
Yeah, I guess that didn't get too crazy, but that's probably a safe assessment.
Fair enough. Anyway, something to watch because that was what Coach Ant said specifically about Cordell at guard was it's sometimes a matchup when they have dudes, and these guys have dudes.
Yeah, and, you know, that assessment isn't taking away from anybody else who could play on Saturday.
No.
That's just saying let's line our best against their best.
Right.
Because, you know, Brink is the heart and soul of that team, I would say.
He is. Benny Sapp, Gopher drop down.
Yeah.
Dad was a Viking, I think, for a while, and a Chief for a little bit.
Yeah.
Good player, safety type, nickel type, good player. Omar Brown, one of the sadder, I guess, recruiting defeats.
Sure.
At North Dakota State, just because, to me, that was a definite need during that cycle, and I think we've seen that bear out. They have gotten a little thin at corner.
Yeah.
And you just hate in this situation to lose scholarship on scholarship to another Valley school. It very, very, very rarely happens.
Yeah.
And Omar is a very, very good football player.
Yeah. I mean, came out of Minneapolis too.
Yeah.
And that's like,
yep, that's,
it hurts.
It does. It does hurt. 6 interceptions in his young career. He's only allowed 43 of the 80 passes thrown his way to be completed. And he's been the guy since he got on campus. That's the impressive part to me. I mean, he is really kind of their version of Courtney Eubanks.
Yeah, and like I said,
and he's more proven than Courtney. And no disrespect to Courtney.
It's, yeah.
Courtney doesn't have 6 picks.
Sure. And I mean, 6 picks is a lot for a career of someone to play college football in.
It is.
For a young buck like him, that really is impressive. And
especially when you're playing corner.
Right.
Safeties like Robbie, and I love Robbie, but like safeties, you spend most of your time watching the ball.
You're playing center field.
Yeah, Omar's in man. Omar's more worried about really probably locking guys down than he is catching the football.
Right, which is kind of surprising that, you know, that's what they always talk about too. You know, like when, why am I blanking on his name? Richard Sherman. I
can't help you. There you
go. God, that was bad. I'm watching the Seahawks even. I couldn't remember his name.
Couldn't but figure it out.
You just stop throwing to their side.
Sure.
Game plan to not play to that side because the ball will be picked off. And that's, you know, even our guy, Marcus Williams, he's right above you right now. And that's what makes his career stats even more impressive because sometimes they weren't even throwing at him and he picked it off.
So it'll be really interesting because last year, the most successful that NDSU got in the passing game was C-Dub in the slot, and he ended up matched up on their safeties, who are not the same caliber of player as those corners. And so when they were able to move Watson inside, then they were able to kind of lock down and get him going vertical against inferior athletes. And that, I think, is going to be a big deal. I think you might want to, and this sounds mean, but like when, and they didn't end up winning the game. But for example, when Richard Sherman, you just mentioned him, he was at the peak of his power.
Sure.
This was back in 2014. Devontae Adams is a rookie. He's not who he is today.
Right.
And they've got Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb on that team.
Yeah.
Well, they played Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb in the slot, and Richard only played left corner. They never moved him. So they just sacrificed rookie Devontae Adams, to Richard Sherman, and then they worked the tight ends, worked Cobb, and worked Nelson against the other corners.
Yeah.
And that might be a situation where you throw a Jake Lippi or whoever out against Omar Brown, and then you are working Babich, Gindorf, Watson, Sproles.
Whatever one of the nine guys who could take the ball to the house every time.
Absolutely. Yeah. You put a guy that you're probably not running the play for over on Omar Brown, and you stress the linebackers and you stress the safeties with the big dudes in the middle.
Yeah, I'll call it right now. Putting a shot out there.
Okay.
I see a big Chief weekend, big tight end party in the end zone, but I think our guy Fifi is going to go crazy this week.
Big week for Phoenix Sproles.
Big Phoenix.
Interesting. Big I love Phoenix that. Week. Yeah, I think the slot guys could do well. I don't love, and that's another thing I'll say, I do not love their team speed from the linebackers and the safeties. And I think that's where...
That's a matchup that we
can That's where you can of. Get them. Absolutely. That's, I think, where you can get at this UNI team a little bit. Not that they're going to shy away from the outside, but I just think your bread is buttered at the seams against these guys.
Sure.
And it's going to be important, I think, too. The jet game and G is going to be important. I don't know how much of a living you're going to make on inside zone and power against these two dudes, but get those linebackers going side to side, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a thing that we're going to make people mad, but Coach Roll's good at his job. He'll figure it out and how to minimize those issues, and I'm excited to see what he draws up this week. And like you said, I mean, if their two best dudes are plugging in the middle and they have downhill fill-the-gap linebackers, why are we going to run fill-the-gap plays and run downhill?
Yep.
Let's do what we need to do to get this thing done. I think it's going to be a big week for these guys.
All right. Prediction time, please, Zach.
34-14. Go Bison.
Across midfield, a foot race, 30, 20, 10, trot in there, baby!
Did I steal your number?
You made me mad, and here's why. Because last week, you got all up, and I figured you were going to come here, tail tucked between your legs. I think you called 42-14.
I said 42-rip.
42-rip. I think it was Trev that gave them 14.
Yeah.
And I figured you were going to come in here, tail tucked between your legs, getting real conservative, talking about how they might squeak one out. And I'm going to say what I was going to say, which is 34-10.
Sure.
I think that when this game is over, you've had kind of a clunky-ish one against UAlbany, a fully clunky one against UND.
Yeah.
Homecoming, sellout, UNI, all week people talking about how Coach Roll sucks at his job, fire him, they don't pass it
enough. Bench everybody.
All the takes. As you've mentioned, very, very rare are the opportunities for these kids to feel doubted.
Yeah.
National championship expectations every year. They are favored in every game. Very rarely do they actually have something to prove. Now, I think the coaching staff for the last 10 years has done a really good job of convincing these kids that they have something to prove.
Yeah.
I think they kind of have something to prove.
Yeah, and if anything, it's internal. Everything is about stacking good days on good weeks. So I know they're not pleased with their performance last week because they're my friends and I talked to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't the outcome they expected. But they're not going to settle for what that was. I know these guys. Hey, your favorite saying? Their piss is hot.
Piss is hot. Oh, goodness. Anyway, folks, that's what we've got. We want to thank everybody for listening. Want to thank Big Deck Barbecue for being the title sponsor of the podcast. Zach, we want to thank you, buddy, for coming all the way out to the Horace Studio on a Thursday night.
Of course.
Have a fantastic homecoming weekend, everybody. And go Bison.